Hello and welcome to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Greg Carlisle. Thank you for listening, and as a reminder, you can always listen to the Raising Men Show as it airs right here Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and again at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WKBY 1080 a.m. out of Chatham, Virginia, or as it streams live on WKBY1080.net. And if you happen to miss an episode, you can always listen to our archives of The Raising Men Show on iTunes, Spotify, and at theraisingmenshow.com. I enjoy really connecting with a lot of you on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Raising Men. We can always keep that conversation going, laughing, joking, making comments, even uplifting each other as the weeks and days go on. It can be tough to be out here by yourself, but just remember, you're not alone. I suffer through that issue a lot where I want to put myself on an island. And I know we do that quite often as well. We put ourselves on these islands all by ourselves for no apparent reason. It took Gilligan a long time to get off that island for those of you who may be as old as I am, and or even those who were actually watching some of the Survivor episodes. You know that those teams, you know, they're not always, you know, cordial to each other as they get voted off the island and things like that. But just remember, guys, you're not by yourself. Feel free. Reach out to me. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's the same handle, at Raising Men. That's RZNGMEN. So we get into today's topic. You know, today, we just remember that it's the 15th of the month already. I know a lot of us are excited. Hey, it's the 15th of the month. You know, it's payday. You know, and I'm excited about payday. And sometimes our paychecks don't go as far as we want them to go or as far as they used to go. And unfortunately, if you happen to be a governmental employee and you haven't quite got your paycheck yet and due to other issues again, if you're new to the show, I'm not a political guy, so I don't plan to speak about anything political based or any politics of any nature. But if you're not getting your paycheck right now and you happen to be a government employee, I'm definitely continue to pray for you for deliverance and for provision, for protection, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding for our leadership. So we're supposed to pray for our leaders. Even though there's moments when we're not quite sure what our leader is doing or if he's even a leader at all, and I'm not going to even get involved one way or the other. I'm not going to throw any shade. I'm not going to even insinuate one way or the other. But we do have a charge to pray for our leaders. So we're going to pray for our leaders, for wisdom, for guidance, for protection for our country and all countries around the world, foreign and domestic. We're praying for just for us as human beings, as a human condition, as a human society, that we all find God. We seek God with all that we are. Because if we do that, we are going to be a much better group of people. We're going to be a better collective. I know back in the day we used to say, oh yeah, we'll be the whole diaspora. Well, it's just a fancy term for family. We are a better community together. An old saying used to be, we're better together. And we are. We're definitely better together than we are apart. There are many times when I'm apart from people because it's better for us, because we're not always better together. And so that better together doesn't stand for and mean that we're better sitting up under each other together. What it means is we're better as a human condition together, as a group, working in the same general way with the same general goal, which is to live in fear and trembling of God. As we're going through even this being the 15th day of the month, it's also the 15th day of the year, 2019, and it's flying by. I don't know about you, but it's hard to believe that it's already the 15th. I'm still remembering, you know, being on air with you on New Year's Day and preparing for that and being up the night before with the kids and, you know, toasting our sparkling, you know, cider and cranberry juice. Excited. I know some of you saw our pictures on social media and you guys were like, whoa, what are you drinking? Is that, you know, root beer, 7-Up, was that even your kids? Was that champagne? What are you doing? No, it was sparkling cider. It was cranberry juice. You know, I had a glass of champagne as well, but I didn't toast that with my kids. No, it's not a problem, but it's flying. The time is really going so fast. And I needed to make sure that I really looked at what I'm doing with my time. There's some stuff that I did last year or even the year before that I wanted to get done this year. I didn't want to let my New Year's resolution, or I didn't want to not be resolute about what I wanted to get done this year and let it pass me by. I didn't want to let my toast, my, you know, cheerio and tinking of the plastic glasses together just go for waste and go for naught. And there's so many things that I wanted to get done that I had to do something about. I tell my kids all the time to don't just talk about it, be about it. I need to make sure I got my mind, you know, fixed. And guys, if you're anything like me, our minds are already fixed and full of so many things that we're already doing. And sometimes it makes me wonder, how can I even get another thing crammed in there? And I mean, half the time I don't, because if I'm cramming something else in there, something else is probably falling out the other side. But I needed to just take a minute at the top of this year and start to really look at what I'm doing and the things I'm doing and the things that I'm not doing, the things that I want to do. And I want to get it all handled. And I didn't really even spend some time looking at how I spend my time. I mean, yeah, okay, I like TV. I like sports. But when I'm sitting around watching a lot of TV and watching a lot of the games, it's keeping me in a lot of cases from doing what I really, really wanted to do. And so I had to make a decision and make a choice as to what I thought was important, what I wanted to get done versus what I had been doing to get there. One of the main things I needed to do is I wanted to continue to grow my relationship with God. I wanted to get that better. I don't think you could ever be perfect in your relationship with God. I think if we were, we would be with Jesus or Enoch, because Enoch was taken up. And I'm doing a lot of following a 1-year Bible reading plan with my church. And I don't know about you, but I get into the Old Testament, listen to Genesis and Exodus, and it talks about, you know, all these different names of people who I have a hard time pronouncing, or even if I'm listening to the recorded version of the Bible that's being read to me on an app, there's all these crazy names, and I thought it was wild. It was such and such with so much and such, and such lived so many years, and then they died. And I remember I was laughing because the person who was reading the Bible on the app that I listened to on the YouVersion Bible app, and I listened to the NIV version, or NIV translation, sorry, and it got to be so repetitious. The guy would say, and so lived so many years, and then he died. And such and such lived so many years, and he died. And it was the same inflection every time until he got to Enoch. And it was wild because when he got to Enoch, he tells the story of Enoch lived so many years. I do believe it's 365 years that Enoch lived, and then he was no more. And I thought, whoa. And I knew this story. I mean, even if you haven't spent any time reading, a lot of us have heard of the odd name Enoch and how he was actually raptured up. And it talks in the Old Testament there, where it talks about how Enoch was found without sin. And basically God pulled him into heaven and took him with him without dying so that Enoch would not sin. And I found that to be such a great piece, because when we're really looking at our lives and we're really looking at what we're doing and looking at where we're going, are we really putting some effort into getting there? To live 365 years like Enoch did and not have sinned, that means he had to have spent some real purposeful time with God, getting to know who God was and getting to know what God wanted, and began to wholeheartedly seek after what God's plan was. And that's where I want to be. Now, okay, yeah, granted, I'm not going to be without sin, so I'm not going to even try to say that that's the way. But what I'm trying to say and get into my life is that I want to follow after God with whatever I have and everything that I am that makes me who I am. I want all of that. So even when I fall short, I still want to be found doing. I want to be found going. And I think for me, I had to spend some time and step back and look at what I have been doing with my time, where I've been spending my efforts. And I wanted to make sure that I'm making a really good investment in time. Now, a lot of you out there are stock people, right? So if you're a stock person or you follow the stock market, if you're wondering about your 401k and things like that and how it's doing and who's making those investments and what are they investing in, you have to look at what you're investing in. For me, it's been really important over the last year or two to really invest in myself, and invest in my time and in my kids. Because you can spend a lot of time talking about what you want to do and talk about the goals that you have and talking about getting better. But if you don't actually put some energy into it, it's really not anything more than talk. And I've done enough talking about it. I talk on these shows an hour a week here on this show on Tuesdays on WKBY 1080 AM. I talk an hour on Saturdays on my live podcast, The Craig Carlisle Show. But if I'm not putting any action to it, those who are listening to the shows are going, you know, that guy's in the same spot. He's talking about the same thing over and over and over. He's not getting any better. But I want to get better. I want everyone else to get better. The premises for these shows were that someone would listen and get better, that I would be able to prepare for them and I would get better. So here we go. How was I in the past? Well, back in the day when my wife first died. Okay, for those who are new to this show, let's give you some background. I'm a widowed single dad of almost 6 years. It'd be 6 years my late wife had been gone in February. And I remember shortly after she died, I'm talking like days after, we're sitting at the house and, I mean, I'm a coach. You know, I've done coaching for years, mostly basketball. And I used to coach volleyball with a friend of mine named Brian. And I tell you, I had to thank God for Brian many days. And Brian, when you listen to this broadcast, I have to tell you that I thank you for helping. Because there was times when we were coaching together that it really kept us focused. But shortly after, days after the wife died, I remember dropping into coaching mode. The team was down. My sons and I, we were down. We had just basically suffered the loss of our star player. And we really weren't sure what the prospect of our rest of our season. We were going to have everybody on the team to step up. Every player, and especially coach, is going to have to coach better for us to get a win ever again. And I remember telling the guys, hey, we're going to continue to get up. We're going to wash. We're going to shower every day. We're going to brush our teeth. We're not going to be down. You know, Mom would have wanted it this way. Wouldn't wanted this to be, you know, sad. I remember just the whole rah-rah, go team, go. And so we went. And I looked at our schedules, and I filled every moment almost of every hour of almost every day with something. I don't even know if it was right. Because doing anything is a whole lot different from doing something. And we're going to spend some time during our hour together talking about the difference between doing something and doing anything. Because I want us to do something good, not just anything. We'll be right back to the Raise Some Men Show.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com. And we're back to the Raising Men Show. And again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. In our first segment, we've spent some time talking about planning. And I was giving examples leading up about what we did as a family and shortly after my late wife passed. The topic of today is proper prior planning. And I know for a lot of us, we remember that whole saying, Oh, yeah. You remember the, was it the 7 P's? Proper prior planning prevents piss poor performance. Yeah, that's a real thing. It's a thing. If we don't spend some time planning, we're going to have a problem. And we're going to have piss poor performance. So as I was sharing in the first segment, that when days after my wife passed, I dropped into coach mode. And I wanted to motivate my team. I had to, because our squad was down. We were hurting. Like I said, we had just suffered the devastating loss of our star player. We were, you know, we were doing well as a family before then, but we had to all rally and do something and pull together. So, again, I had mentioned the first thing, and I filled all of our time with activities, and I scheduled a bunch of stuff. And I did that because I didn't want us to have a whole lot of time to just think. I didn't want our minds to be idle workshops open to the thoughts of the enemy. I just couldn't have that. I needed us to be able to move and to go and to continue with life. I mean, we were doing activities anyway while their mother was alive, but I packed a few more things in. I found another places or two for me to work, and I took some extra part-time jobs here or there, and I just needed to make sure we were going. And I'm sure I did it for my sake, because I didn't want to think about where we were and how we were and things that were going on. I just needed us to be so tired at the end of the day of doing the activities that there was no room for sadness. There was no room for tears anymore. There was no room for anything other than sleep. And I found that the team and I began to become fatigued. We just became worn out. It wasn't healthy in the grieving process, I'll tell you that for sure. We went this way for years, and I just began to feel trapped in the routine of coaching community sports and driving from event to practice, practice to event, games to game, gym to gym. I know during that time, I know my oldest son was still doing travel basketball and high school basketball, not to mention track, and you know, he had a little bit of a drive to and from school, and we were trying to chase him and follow his games and be a supportive family and keep it together. I know the youngest kids, they were playing basketball and volleyball, and we were all over the place. And it just became too much. I noticed some cracks in the armor, so to speak. I noticed some oddities, and it was tough to even get a break that we needed. Because like I said, we had met some pretty quality people during our time at Community League Sports. You know, Brian and his wife, Jennifer. They kept us going in the games. I remember meeting Brian for the first time. I think I was coaching one of his sons. I may have been even coaching against him, I think, when I first met him. I have to go back and have him listen and recall the sort of how we met. I just remember I was on the sideline coaching. I think I actually had both of his kids on my team. I was coaching him, and that made an unfair team, because between his two sons and I think I had Caden at the time playing on that particular team, we had so much length and so much athleticism just with those three players. I don't think anybody really scored much but us. And then I remember shortly after that, we had some conversations about volleyball. Brian is a volleyballer as well. He came from a volleyball background. I remember the kids were, you know, hitting volleyballs around, kind of in and around the game time. And I thought to myself, what are we doing out here? We're supposed to be playing basketball. There's no volleyball balls in basketball. But yet, that was Brian's first sport. And his kids were in basketball. One of them liked it. One of them didn't like it too much. And we started playing. And so we started coaching volleyball together as well. And it didn't help much, because I was working and then Brian was working. And so we needed a coaching solution. And so we were able to get the community leagues to allow us to coach together, which was unfair at the time that no one knew me. I was new to the area. I was new to the scene. And they had known Brian, and they knew Brian worked a lot. So they were okay with allowing him to have assistant coach. And then, of course, you put the coaches together, then the kids had to play together. They didn't realize that Brian had the twins, and I had, you know, four young boys that were coming, and two that were in close age. And so at one time, we had two of Brian's kids, two of my kids on the same team, playing volleyball team. We were dominant for several seasons and winning championships, and it really didn't matter who you put around us. And they made sure they put some strange, you know, some strange oddities around us, but we still were able to win. So it became tougher and tougher to get a break from the sport because we were winning. But at the same time, we really weren't winning. We were just existing, barely surviving. I was so far into burnout that I began to feel it. And I remember a therapist has once said that by the time you actually realize that you feel burnt out, that you already have been burnt out for quite some time. And I was trying to live from scripture verse to scripture verse. And in this case, I was stuck on Romans 8:28. And I just kept staying with that over and over and over because I thought that's what it was. It was my catch-all. It was my go-to scripture that and my thought, I was, you know, in a position where I couldn't give up. I couldn't let down. My team needed me. I had to keep pushing through, but I wasn't healthy. I found that I was misapplying the scripture. I found that I was applying the scripture to my pain and not to the promise of God. So Romans 8:28, for those who don't know it off the top of your head, I'm going to be reading the Passion Translation first, and then I'm going to go into the NIV. So Romans 8:28 says, "So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose." Okay, for those of you who are like, that's kind of strange wording, let's read from the NIV. "And we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." That's the great catch-all scripture that I kept using. But again, I kept applying it to my hurt and not to the promises of God that he has for me. I kept using that to push and to grind and to grind and to push. And some of us do the same thing. We keep thinking we're grinding like on this grinding wheel. And if you think about it, a grinding wheel from back in the day, I know a lot of you are much younger, so you don't necessarily know what a grinding wheel was. But back in the day when the Indians and the settlers and everything, like father used to grind meal, you know, corn into meals, which of course, those who don't know, corn that grows on a stalk, you pull those off and you actually have to grind those out after they're dried out and you make cornmeal. Those of you who eat, you know, catfish or eat fried fish of some type, it has meal on it. If those who eat cornbread, it has meal in it. And you have to grind that down after it's been dried into a powder so you can use it as a cooking utensil, as a coating, as a batter to go over the top of things. That grinding process not only just pulverizes the corn itself, but also gives away part of that rock at the same time. That millstone is actually giving away part of itself. And if you look at a lot of pictures you may have seen or artist renderings of pictures back in the day of certain Indians that were doing a lot of the using millstones and grinding to make the corn tortillas and the corn products. A lot are shown to have dental problems. And it's nothing to really to do with the fact that they don't brush or things like that. But when you're eating rock and pulverized stone as a part of your diet and you're chewing, it's going to wear away your teeth. That's what was becoming a part of my family. We were wearing away. We were wasting away. I was grinding them into dust because I was trying to work so hard at making sure that they didn't hurt. But I was keeping them from grieving, and that's not good. The Lord gave me Proverbs 16:9, and I'm so thankful that I came across that. And it gave us a whole new interest, for me anyway. It became a whole new interest for me as a scripture. Proverbs 16:9 says, "Within your heart you can make plans for the future, but the Lord chooses the steps that you take to get there." Well, what is that really saying? What does that really mean? Well, that basically says I can spend all that time, you know, touting and shouting Romans 8:28, and kept filling our time, filling our hearts, filling every moment of every day with something. But it wasn't the thing that it needed to be. I was putting anything into that hole. When sometimes we've had experienced a great loss, I've heard an analogy that if you can imagine there's a big hole. People say, "Oh, it's a hole in your heart." I used to think of it like a hole in the wall, where instead of me patching over that hole, asking for healing, okay, and patching that wall, I was just tossing stuff in there. Our time, our talent, our just all of our emotions, all of our everything. I was just tossing it in there. And you would think at some point that wall would fill up and it would come back over, and I couldn't stick anything else in there. But sometimes when you've experienced a loss, even if it's a loss of identity, loss of confidence, just a loss of just the love you have for yourself, it could be, those holes are endless. They're bottomless. And you could put everything in there, and we did, and it in an effort to patch up the hole. But I should have spent more time with God asking him to heal the hole instead of trying to fill the hole. So Proverbs 16:9, it was a reminder to help me get myself back on track and get our family back on track and begin to change my approach. So over the past few years, I had to begin to change how I sought God and what I sought God for. And guys, if you're anything like me, we kind of react to life. You know, there's some guys that are planners, and we're kind of the raw, you know, there's some rah-rah guys out there that are just, you know, let's take that hill, guys, let's go, and let's plan, let's go, let's do. But then there's a lot of us that's just that are waiting for, you know, the wives to get after us about something because we want the quiet, and it's, at some point she's going to remind us of something that we did or didn't do. But in my case, I didn't have a wife. I don't have a wife at home to remind me of anything. So I had to do something. I had to stop being the reactionary one. And I get it, you know, guys, that we have some primal urges that we sort of plan around, that we kind of make a little plan to try to get them satisfied and everything. But when we really are truthful to ourselves and with ourselves, that we're not even successful planning there because we don't have a lot of attention to detail in certain cases. While I was preparing for this, I found a saying from Benjamin Franklin. And I know it was surprising to me too, that where it came from, but it says, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. And I don't know about you, but I've failed enough. It's time to change the playbook. So I had to throw my old playbook out. And that's why I chose to, you know, I believe the Lord chose this topic for me for today, is proper prior planning. Because I'd had enough piss poor performance, to be truthful. And when we come back from break, we're going to spend some more time dealing with planning, because I'm going to give you some tools of how to become successful planners. I've been a project manager for several years when I used to work for Abbott Laboratories. And if you don't plan and stay on task, different deliverables don't get met. Different things that you want to get done don't get done on time. It has everything to do with paying bills, getting your credit scores up, getting your list done, your to-do list, everything. So when we come back from break, we're going to go and explore some more tools to help us become better. We'll be right back to the Raising Men Show.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.
And welcome back to the Raising Men Show. And again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and today we are dealing with the topic of proper prior planning. Again, as we were coming out of the last segment, I was really, really surprised when I found that quote. I didn't realize that Benjamin Franklin had said it, but it's the truth. If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. And I've heard different derivations off of that same usage. But for having it been said from so long ago, and from a person I didn't expect to hear it from, it didn't change the meaning at all. It actually added a greater meaning to it because it came from so long ago. When I changed my playbook, I began to ask God, hey, what do you want from my family? So guys, here's some tools we're going to go through the next two segments. This segment and the next, we're going to talk about the practical tools of what we use and what I use and what I found to be helpful. And I had to start at the basics. I had to start at God. I had to start with asking God, what did he want for me? What is he saying to me? What is he saying to my family so I can lead my family well? I believe he gave my family in late 2007, early 2008, Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 30. And this was coming from a place and a time where my family needed to hear that God heard us. And I needed my family to hear that God has an answer for us. So Isaiah 40, 27 to 30 says, and I'm reading from, I think it's the NIV version. It starts with, O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your trouble? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall into exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That scripture is going to help keep me focused. And it has kept me focused and motivated on moments when I get tired. And when I begin to wonder if God's still with me. And not is he just still with me, but is he still ordering my steps? My late wife was the one who used to ask in the relationship if we were still going in the right direction. I used to share with her, even when we first got married, I said, look, I'm a heads down type of guy. I'm in the trench. I know that I'm where I'm supposed to be going. I can see it in the distance. But if you have ever taken a long car trip and you're driving across town or across states, and especially in the Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, Alabama, where the terrain really is flat most of the way through, especially coming through Vegas, and you're coming off that hill, coming from the west to east, going towards Vegas. When you're on a higher part of the road and you can see the road in the distance kind of dipping away, and it makes, you know, high and lows, and even if it's S-turn, you're going around things, it's easy to see where the road's going if you're watching the road. There's so often times for me when I'm out driving or in my case going through life, I'll look at the target, which is the goal, and I'll take my eyes off the road. So it's easy to look in the distance, especially if a road is turning to the left or to the right, or if it's dipping away. If you can see the prize, the city in the distance, see the lights, it's easy to have an accident if that's all you're doing is driving towards the light, driving towards the goal. But you have to watch the road, because there may be a cliff or a chasm. There's not a straight line to get to where we're going. There's going to be different twists we're going to have to take to follow the contour of the road, to follow where the road has been paved. Yeah, granted, we can get off the pavement, because pavement is optional. But sometimes when you get off the road, there's a cliff there. And if you fall away down that cliff, you could be miles, years away from getting back on track because you're hurt. You're going to need rescue, and there may not be anyone following behind you paying attention enough to even know that you went over that ravine. So since my late wife's been gone, my son Evan's been kind of taking over that role of asking, hey, are we there yet? Are we going the right way? Is this where we're going? Because again, I'm a head down, trudging forward type of guy. And I appreciate the reminder sometimes to kind of look up, assess, ask God, are we going to the right place? Check the GPS, his, you know, God's positioning system, find out where are we at. There's a moment I had when I was helping a friend get to college a few weeks ago, following that GPS. Like, some of us follow God. I mean, even with following God right now, there's moments like on that trip, like moments like I'm at right now in life where nothing around me looks familiar. Yeah, I still live in the same general city that I've lived in for like the last 15 or 18 years, but it feels different. It looks different. And there's just moments when if you don't trust God, if you don't trust his instrumentation, if you don't trust his leading, you're going to be in some spots where, okay, those of you who have been pilots before, or if you hear about pilot stories where the pilots can get disoriented and just kind of lose their way, the instruments are telling them that they're in the right position, that they're landing right, or they're on course, but it's easy just to get disoriented. That's where the enemy wants to keep us, disoriented. He wants to pervert what the Lord is giving us as what he wants for us. So we have to trust and follow. So in my trusting and following this year, I had to plan. I had to write things down. I wrote down for every child what I wanted to get for them, whether it be for their rooms or for clothing-wise for them or whatever. What I wanted them to learn even from a dad teaching them perspective. I did that for myself. I did it for other aspects of where we live. I wanted to make sure I'm able to check things off. Okay, granted, when I didn't realize I was making a vision board until I talked to Coach Payton, who's a great life coach. When I shared with her what I was doing, she was saying, hey, you know, this is what you're doing. It's called a vision board, and you're doing a good job. I thought I was just making a to-do list. I didn't have a honey to do the honey to-do list for me, or to create them for me, or to do them for them. So I had to create one for myself. And so, in making that to-do list, I had to spend some time assessing and evaluating and looking and praying and thinking about what I wanted to get done, and in what priority order. So there's no hard or fast way, guys, to do that. We just have to do it. You can put it on a piece of paper. You can put it on a whiteboard. You can put it on a chalkboard. You can just write it down, because we've got really too many things in our mind daily that to try to keep all of these tasks accomplished. So for me, I'm a tech guy. So I know I will lose a piece of paper if you hand it to me before I walked across the room. I would definitely have misplaced it somewhere. So in my phone, I actually used my notes feature or notes app. And so I have a check-off list in there, and I wrote all this stuff down. I typed it all in. And as I've been checking things off, I've actually been, it's given me the greatest pleasure to be able to check off something and know that I've accomplished it. And I can definitely tell that it's God helping me through ordering my steps through these process of things that I planned to do just by how they've come about. Well, case in point. I needed a lawnmower, and so I went and bought a lawnmower. Who, you know, most guys buy a lawnmower, no big deal, and you spend all this time staring at the equipment, the lawnmowers in the aisles at Home Depot or Lowe's or your favorite hardware store. And you're just like, you know, do I get the gas power? Do I get the 7 horsepower, 10 horsepower? Do I get battery operated? Do I get electric with a cord? And I found myself standing there looking and comparing prices and features, and I started thinking, man, I'm that guy. Standing in the aisle, just staring. Am I going to make a decision? Let's go. Let's go. Come on, come on. And I just thought, man, that would be a great commercial that I could star in right now, because that's what I was doing. I was just standing there reading, comparing, checking the budget, trying to figure it out. So I wound up buying an eco-friendly, environmentally friendly lawnmower. It was a battery operated. It wasn't even electric. Battery operated. I've never seen a battery operated lawnmower before in my life. So I get this thing home, and it was lightweight. It was definitely quieter than any lawnmower. Because I don't know about you, but Saturday mornings, I really despise people on Saturday mornings who would have the audacity to start their lawnmower like at 7 o'clock in the morning. And I understand, you know, the cities will allow you to make noise at a certain time. They raise the noise threshold, but there's There's a time when you can be a better neighbor. But I mean, I get it. If you're working, if that's your occupation, is to be a landscaper, and you've got, you know, you're blessed to get those contracts, and you're out there cutting and mowing, and you need to get your contracts in because you want part of your Saturday back too, because you've probably been cutting all week and you want at least half Sunday. I get it. But 7 o'clock in the morning? Really? That's early. I want to be asleep. So for the one time that I'd ever be foolish enough to have to be turning my lawnmower on at 7 o'clock in the morning, mine's going to be quiet. You're not going to hear mine. Mine's got a brushless motor. Here we go. So when I got the lawnmower home, the yard needed to be done because I had let the gardener go. I had to make some choices. I had to really evaluate why I was really having a gardener. And in my case, I've got four boys at the house all day. And people are thinking, why do you have a gardener? That's what you got big kids for. You know, that should never be a thing. You should never be out there cutting and pushing the lawnmower unless they can't, you know, push the thing around. And, you know, you got kids. And let's make it plain. I'm the guy that has four of them living at the house, 15, 14, 12, and 10. I get it. Strong, strapping young men. They could do this. But unfortunately, three of them are currently struggling, you know, loosely with asthma in varying degrees. And then the 15-year-old himself, he has eczema. So touching grass and being a part of grass actually winds up putting them in the hospital. And I don't need to have that kind of problem. I can cut the grass. So when I got to do this lawn this time, it was late in the afternoon, and I was actually losing the light. But you know what? The Lord blessed me with lights on my lawnmower. Who has a lawnmower with headlights? I know sometimes you want your lawnmower souped up, but I didn't realize mine was going to be souped up with lights as well. So as it was getting darker and darker, I was able to finish my task and not have, you know, play suspended because of darkness and or have my grass looking shabby. So God's always at work at anything we're doing. When we come right back for the last segment, we're going to give you some more tools and some more tips on how to become better and do better proper prior planning. We'll be right back to the Razor Men Show.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to him.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yovo, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
And we're back to the Razor Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and we're in our final segment. So we're going to take this thing home with some more practical tips and tricks to help us become better and have us have better, proper, prior planning. I know in this last segment we talked about what I use, and I just use a regular list. I use my notes app in my phone when I'm able to actually make a running list and tally of everything that I wanted to get done. And as I've been able to check them off, I just check them off my list and I'll delete them. And I understand that, you know, the list can be time consuming. I understand fully that it's an effort. It's some work to be put in. We have to be vigilant to our list and vigilant to our calendar books. But if we're not doing that, then we're going to get off track. And I laugh because you think about making a list. It's, oh, that's just very simple. You're writing things down. Oh, that's very, very plain. Oh, that's very, very ho-hum. But you know what? It's effective. And I believe that God is in the simple things. Yeah, I mean, and God, from time to time, he does ask us to do these great and mighty things like, you know, going out and on a missions trip and climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in the snow, butt naked, singing hymns, you know, forward and backwards. But he also asks us to do the simple things like cut our lawn, speak to our neighbors, smile at people, forgive and pray for our enemies and those who hurt us. It's all the same. But if you can believe it or not, if we fail to even attempt the small things, God's really not likely to ask us to do anything great. Because we haven't shown ourselves approved. We haven't shown ourselves to be a workman that's diligent, that's worthy of his wage. For some of us, a big thing is putting the toilet seat down or putting the toilet seat up, depending on the situation. You know, guys, do that. I do that. I'm trying to teach my kids right now to keep that toilet seat up. That's a valuable lesson they're going to need across the course of their life. As you're finishing list, as I'm finishing my list, I need to make sure that I keep checking it. And the feeling of accomplishment is awesome, just being able to get certain things checked off my list so they don't just wind up being hanging over day after day, month after month, and at the end of the year still having the same things on that list as when you started. That should never be the case. They shouldn't last 6, 9, 10 months unless they're big ticket items that you're saving for. Then they should remain on the list longer. But if they're what's called low-hanging fruit, if they're things that you can easily check off with a little bit of elbow grease, a little bit of time spent, let's get it done. Let's get the things knocked off. If you've got a fence you need to mend, or grass to be cut, or even grass to be patched, if you've got some recycled cans that need to go to the recycling, put it on your list of things to do and let's move on. Let's not continue to leave ourselves in this state of disarray. And the main thing I had to find that as I'm finishing things off my list, I need to put something back on the list, not necessarily to replace it, looking for something to do, but we don't have to look. There's always something to do. If you ever ran yourself out of something to do, that means you have a problem. That means you don't create any trash mess or anything, because there's always trash that's got to go out at the end of the week. There's always laundry. Is even your bed sheets have got to be changed once a week, because if you're sleeping on the same bed sheet 2-3 weeks at a time, that's just nasty. That's just unsanitary, and it stinks. I mean, you don't need to have, there's something basically what I'm saying is that you've got to do all the time. And as I've been leveraging my to-do list, I've been really leveraging my calendar in my phone as well. And I do use the double reminders as my appointments as they come up, because I need to give myself an announcement, a reminder to say, hey, look, this is coming up on X day or in this amount of time, whether it's 1 day, 2 days out, or depending on the severity or importance of the event, I'll even set it at a reminder and a notification for myself up to a week in advance. I do those large ones like for the kids when they're going to camp, but I know that I've got to get camp supplies. I'll set a calendar entry a week or two out, so I'll remind, hey, camp is in 2 weeks. There's certain things we need to do. Oh, we're going to a play. Yeah, there's certain things we need to do. Or if the kids have a band performance, then there's a day or two in advance notice or things that we need to do. So guys, even with the notifications and the calendar entries, invite your family members that you have to do that event with. I do that with my kids. In the calendar, it allows you to invite an attendee to that appointment. I'm in the habit now of inviting my kids to the events or the doctor's appointments that I've got to do with them. My 14-year-old son, Ryan, he has allergy shots every 2 weeks. And so when I need to make sure he knows what time and when and where we're going for allergy shots with the doctor, I'll send him an invite. So, and I set the notification right. So he will have conversations about, yeah, I got that or I didn't get that. I've even had my youngest son delete a calendar invitation. And I said, hey, why did you delete that? Why did you not accept it? And he was quite a, surprised that he had made that mistake. And I don't know even know if he really knew that I was going to get a notification that he had deleted it or had declined the event. But it allows the communication, it allows that dialogue, it allows the communication to be increased so we as a family can work better as a team. So I don't know, we're running out of time. Another reason why I even put everything in my calendar is that for me, there's only one parent at home. There's only one brain that's focused on the global team goal versus the kids are all looking for their individual goals. You know, they want games, they want game systems, they want to go places with their friends. I've been telling my kids that if you want to go somewhere, including being home, like being picked up from school, I tell them you need to put that in my calendar because I'm not going to remember otherwise. I've had several times when I've had a couple of my kids waiting for me to pick them up from school because they didn't put it in my calendar. So I was out doing other things of working other places, consulting for the things, I was in other cities, and I had to come home early so they could get home. And that's not a good thing to do, but I tell you what, it allowed them to have that feeling of what it was to not properly plan. for their even their rides home. They're old enough to know that if I don't do X, then I shouldn't have to ask Y as to why that happened. I've added everything to that, even grocery lists, guys. If your wife or spouse or friend, if your kids need something, if you need something on the way home from the grocery store, put that in there that you've got to stop. Make a list of what you want to get from the store, what you were asked to pick up. For my kids, I let the kids know, hey, you guys need to keep looking in that food pantry. You're just as responsible for what's in there or not in there as I am. Now, granted, I am responsible for making sure I keep it stocked because I'm the parent. That's my role. I'm to spend the money and be a good steward of what the Lord has given us to make sure the kids eat and eat properly, not just a bunch of garbage and junk. But at the same time, if the kids know they're the ones eating it, or you eat the last of it, or it's getting down to the last of it, try not to wait until it's all gone to let say, Dad, we need this. Well, you know I've been out and about. Let me know. Send me a text. Hey, Dad, can you get this? Dad, can you get this on the way home? And so I put it in my calendar that I've got to stop because I tell you what, guys, it may feel like it's a lot of extra work to make these lists and create calendar entries. But if you don't, you're going to be taking more time driving back to the store after you've got home. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired when I get home. I don't want to go back and forth. I'd rather make one stop and don't roam through the store wondering what I'm supposed to get and not remembering by the time I got through the door what I was supposed to have got. And I got to go back and forth. Make your list. Check it twice. It's put some proper prior planning towards our day in our repertoire of things to make us more successful. So let's talk about this. Put some scriptures together with our practical. So why is it important? When I did my study today, I needed to understand where we were going. So I checked this off here. Matthew 24 verses 42 and 44. 42 to 44. I'm reading the Passion Translation for all these scriptures. I'm only starting to talk fast because the time is running out. I really want to get through these. So I apologize if I'm picking up the pace, but we're going to start reading these scriptures. Matthew 24, verses 42 to 44. Again, all out of the Passion Translations. This is why you must stay alert, because no one knows the day your Lord will come. But realize this, if a homeowner had known what time of night the burglar would come to rob his house, he would have been alert and ready and not let his house be robbed. So always be ready, alert, and prepared, because at an hour when you're not expecting him, the Son of Man will come. This scripture I chose for being prepared. If you're doing your Bible studies as well, put that in your calendar. Get up and read. Get up and listen. The YouVersion Bible app has the ability and a feature that you can listen to someone else read you the scriptures as you're paying attention. Don't do other things, but read and listen and pay attention, because your faith comes through hearing and hearing through the Word of God. So if you want to hear your scripture as you're reading or read your scripture, pay attention to those things and be prepared. Luke 21:36, again out of the Passion Translation. Keep a constant watch over your soul and pray for the courage and grace to prevail over these things that are destined to occur, and then so that you will stand before the presence of the Son of Man with a clear conscience. If we've planned properly to have a closer relationship with God, to do the things that the Lord told us to do, so when we get to the end of our days and we're standing before God, we know that we've done the things we're supposed to. Keep a constant watch. 1 Peter 5:8, again, Passion Translation. Be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for his prey to devour. I love that scripture. I use it a lot. If I'm not being prepared, if I'm not well balanced, if I'm not alert, things are going to come around and just try to overtake me, just going to try to bash my head in. That's what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to devour me. I don't want that. I'm going to be, and how am I prepared? How am I alert? Well, by reading scripture, when I talk about meditating on the word, and I don't know if you remember, if you've heard certain terms in scripture, renumerating. That means it's like a cow. A cow has multiple stomachs, and so what has to happen in a cow as he or she are eating the grass and eating when he's eating his grass and the hay, this first stomach can only digest so much. So the cow would chew it in, take it in the first stomach, and then begin a certain aspect of the digestive process. And then the cow will throw the food back up and eat that same food, same cut back, and it'll transfer over to the second stomach, and it'll begin to further that digestion process. Now, I know that's kind of gross, but when you really think about it, you really need to spend some time reading over, thinking about it, and reading over and thinking about the scriptures again, over and over. The last one, time is running out. The last one, Ephesians 6, 11 to 13. Put on the complete set of armor provided to us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but is with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you are protected and you can confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Again, be prepared. We need to have proper prior planning. Hope you've had a great time. I know I have. Again, you've been listening to Craig Carlisle, and this is the Ransom Men Show. See you all next week. It's been a long time. Preach up. You got it. I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.